again, and welcome to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. I'm your host, certified sex therapist Lori Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again, and blogger at Psychology Today and WebMD. And I have with me Dr. Adam Matthews, my co-host, who's a couples therapist, psychotherapist, and president of NCAMFT. Foreplay is dedicated to helping couples keep it hot. Each episode, we cover an aspect of sex that impacts your sex life and something that you can relate to. So if you find our discussions helpful, please give us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. We would love it if you would tell a friend about us. You can find us also on the web at foreplayrst.com. And if you have a comment or a topic that you'd like us to talk about, we'd love to hear from you. Please send them to us at info@foreplayrst.com. Thanks for listening. Now on to today's topic. Okay, today's episode is the do-over. How to get started after a lull.
A lull. That sounds so...
A sexual lull.
Ugh, that sounds so foreboding. That sounds so
no
dramatic.
No sex. The desert. Where is the oasis?
The dry season.
The very dry season.
Yeah.
The lull.
The lull. I mean, that. What do you think about that, especially in committed relationships? The longer a relationship goes on, Lori, are we expecting that to happen? Is that in healthy couples? Does that happen? I mean, what do we think about it? Because in the middle of it, right, it's scary.
It is
right?
scary.
It's really
Will
scary.
Will it ever restart?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think unfortunately in life there are lulls.
Yeah.
You know, and there are ebbs and flows. I mean, in our emotional life, sometimes we're going through seasons where we do feel deeply connected and other times not so much. And for many reasons, there are sexual lulls, mm-hmm. right? I mean, sometimes just post-pregnancy.
That's a doctor-ordered lull.
Sexual lull, yeah. right? And that can be, especially if maybe the last trimester she wasn't as into it or she was too big for it or, you know, it can be longer than 6 weeks and that can be trying.
Yeah, and then you got lulls where like... things just kind of steamroll and snowball unexpectedly. Travel is one that I'm thinking of.
And then you get sick and you get the flu and your mm-hmm. kids get sick after that and everybody's exhausted and suddenly it's like a month lull.
Yeah. Changes in routine as well. Like right now, I mean, life transitions. I mean, we talked about baby transitions, work transition, moves.
Yeah. Menopause.
Yeah. Lots of different stuff that can cause those. And a lot of times your habit or your routine, your sexual routine just gets completely busted and it goes for a long time that it becomes really hard to restart that.
Exactly. I will say, you know, I wrote the book on sexlessness, Wanting Sex Again, and, you know, How to Heal a Sexless Marriage. And really, even just recently, I've had couples restart sex after 6 years and after a year and a half. That was just recently. I know it feels hopeless out there and we are with you. We know how helpless it might feel after a long lull
yeah.
to believe that there is any chance of restarting. Yeah. But many times there is. And sometimes it's based on misconceptions and things that your partner thinks. And the longer it goes on, too.
Yeah. I mean, the longer it goes on, it starts to become a really deep place of shame for people.
It does. Right? They don't even want to talk about it.
They don't want to admit it. I mean, I think even saying when you said 6 years and a year and a half, I think there's people out there who would go, well, that's us, uh-huh. right? And uh-huh. they don't realize how common those long lulls can be. And because, yeah. again, because it's one thing after another steamrolls, and then the more you're out of it, the harder it is to get back in it, and it can stretch for years.
Yep.
And that is not really that uncommon.
It's not that uncommon, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But we understand it is. I don't think it's healthy, right?
Sure, sure.
Because
yeah.
I think sex is glue for a relationship, and so a lull is problematic. But it's also a symptom of something that's going on that needs to be analyzed and it needs to be figured out.
Mm.
And a lot of times the person who isn't as interested, sometimes they kind of get all the blame. But oftentimes the other person, you know, is participating in a dynamic that they may not even be able to see, yeah. you know, but is adding to the problem that creates the lull.
I think that's a good point. The vast majority of the time, both members of the couple are contributing to this.
They are.
In some form or fashion.
Yeah.
But often they get into a lull because they start blaming the other person for the reason. My partner doesn't want sex. They're too pushy. There's too much pressure to have sex. We're not emotionally connected. How could I possibly have sex with them?
Yeah.
They're always angry all the time. If they would just lessen their anger. There's all these reasons why we're saying.
Were you sitting in my room this this week?
That was my room this week. I mean, it's just all, I mean, it's seriously, I mean, it's everyone. I mean, when there's no sex, we look for someone to blame, and usually the person is in the bed with us.
Yeah, right? For sure.
And like that.
There's no sex because they don't want to have sex.
That's right. And we blame the nearest person, and we fail to see how we're contributing to it.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest part. The hardest part is how I am contributing to the lull.
And I think, I mean, we understand that, especially if you are the person who wants to have sex, that it's so exquisitely painful, and it's like you've committed in monogamy to this person that won't be sexual with you, and it's just so frustrating. I mean, we really, truly, deeply get how hurtful this position is and how frustrating it can be to how do you turn the tide?
Mm.
You know, because somehow or another, it seems like pressure doesn't work, initiation doesn't work, seduction doesn't work.
Withdrawal doesn't work.
Withdrawal really doesn't work.
Yeah, I think there's two common things that I see that how we try to handle a lull that is problematic, right? One, we get really angry at the person and we start to demand sex, right? And
we start
to point out how
that
problematic
works so well.
It is. We start to count the weeks that go by that we haven't had
sex.
We start to criticize them, and it's a lashing out against our partner. That just becomes really problematic because it just starts to highlight the problem of no sex, right? I mean, we're crossing days off a calendar, or we might as well be. Well, we didn't have sex today, didn't have sex, and like that buildup just starts to, it keeps the lull from breaking because there starts to be such this buildup of pressure on the relationship.
I'm nodding, Adam.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm totally nodding.
Yeah, I mean, it just grows into this thing that's too heavy for either one of us.
I think another thing that happens is we make up our own translation and understanding about what is happening.
Yes.
So we say maybe, well, my partner's just not a sexual creature.
Mm.
They're just not very sexual. They've always been frigid. They were never that into it.
We give our partner a diagnosis. We say they're broken sexually, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, this one is so surprising to the person who wants sex and the other person who seemingly doesn't want sex.
Mm-hmm.
To really, because I often interview them both separately, and the person who doesn't seem to be as sexual often tells me, well, you know, I masturbate, of course, because, you know, I have a need, or they're like, I want to have sex, but there's this, that, and the other thing that stops me with my partner's behavior. And, I mean, they really are often more sexual than their partner knows, and I think might take hope in, you know, they would take hope if they could know that about their partner, but things are so shut down during a lull, a prolonged lull, that they don't know that about their partner.
Yeah. And I think one of the reasons, too, is because the opposite reaction of the lashing out to me is the withdrawal, is the shutdown, is the I'm not even going to talk about it stance. Mm-hmm. Because, and there's a lot of reasons why that is. Shame might be one of them. Fear might be another one. But the opposite response of we're just not going to talk about it, and if it happens, it happens, type of response.
Yeah.
Do you see that one as often too?
Yeah, often. Or it's just such a loaded subject. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, because a lot of times it results in a lot of conflict, right?
Mm-hmm. And I often hear the other side too, you know, the one person who that's the way they bring it up. They only talk about the sexual lull.
Hmm.
They don't necessarily acknowledge what their partner is saying about the reasons for that and what their partner might be feeling. So they frame it too sexually instead of dynamically. I know there's something between us, and it's reflected, and I see it in our lack of sexual intimacy. But I know this is complicated. Let's talk about the complications here. Your part, my part. You know, what's happening for you in this? What do you feel about this lull? What else is happening that maybe makes you withdraw sexually, or maybe makes you withdraw emotionally from me?
Yeah.
You know, it has to be a broad conversation.
And oftentimes that the sexual lull could be symptomatic of a lot of other things that are going on in a relationship, right?
Yep.
And not having a willingness to look at all of it, if you're just wanting to look at the sexual component of it, that can be very limiting in the conversation with your partner, right? Because it's only addressing one need.
It's easy pickings.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
for sure.
I can point to that as something that's wrong, maybe something that you're not doing, but it's harder to see the more intangibles, the emotional connection that's broken, the hurts, the betrayals, you know. Mm. I mean, all of that could be compiled into this lull.
Well, and it's so easy to fall into the trap of thinking the sexual part is the easiest fix. Right.
Yeah, if we can just do it any second.
That's right. I mean,
it's over. The lull is over.
We're capable. We're two adults. I mean, why shouldn't we be able to do this? And so the emotional piece or the other piece that's wrong in our relationship seems unmovable, and so it seems harder to talk about or harder to get a handle on. Mm-hmm. And so that we end up not talking about that one and just focusing on the sex.
Yeah. Well, let's come back after the break and talk about how to get over the lull. You are listening to 4Play Radio Sex Therapy with sex therapist Lori Watson and couples therapist Dr. Adam Matthews. We'll be right back.
Wanting sex again. How to rediscover desire and heal a sexless marriage by certified sex therapist Lori Watson.
Each chapter is designed to fix one of the problems that cause low libido, from early marriage through the childbearing years, even all the way through menopause. I've also had men read it and tell me that for them it was the most hopeful thing they read about resolving sexual problems.
Look for Wanting Sex Again on Amazon.com. You can also talk to Lori Watson for therapy in person or via Skype.
I offer couples counseling and sex therapy, and I think about both aspects of the relationship, emotional intimacy and sexual technique, and that combination together helps marriages be happy.
Weekend couples intensives are also offered. Improve your sex and improve your relationship with Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Find out more at awakenloveandsex.com. Awaken what's possible.
It is one of my great joys in life to be able to really help individuals and couples find strength in their relationships and really find hope again.
Licensed marriage and family therapist, Dr. Adam Matthews from Matthews Counseling.
I work with a wide variety of issues, including depression and anxiety, marital issues, issues with adolescence. I believe that therapy should be designed around you, that it should be personalized to who you are and to your unique situation.
Therapy is available in office, online, and by phone.
I want therapy to be comfortable for everyone. At our office, you'll find that we sit around a fireplace in deep, comfortable chairs, look at the problem differently, and offer practical solutions for you to take home and utilize outside of the therapy room.
Schedule today and rediscover hope.
You can find me on the web at matthewscounseling.net, Matthews with one T. You can contact us through email or phone and find a lot of resources on our website, matthewscounseling.net.
We're back with 4Play Radio Sex Therapy, and today we're talking about the lull, and this second half we're going to talk about how to get over the lull.
Yeah, how do we climb out of this sexual hole that we've fallen into this dry desert season?
Well, we said don't start with criticism.
That's a good one.
But the first thing I think you should start with, I was reading a post, and it was by a woman named Elena Maurer, and she was talking about the lull. And she essentially said, go for sweetness. I mean, start out by saying something like, you know, I miss making love to you.
I think that's a good one.
You know, I mean, open the subject with something warm, something sweet versus criticism.
Yeah. Those types of things, they're invitations, right?
I mean,
we talk about bids a lot. I mean, it's a bid. It's an invitation to return. And it's also saying, this is something I miss. Like, I miss, and it's not just that I miss sex, right?
Yeah,
I miss you.
Yeah, exactly. Just like saying I want, or you want sex is the wrong question. Saying I miss sex is different than I miss you. I miss being in bed with you. I miss the intimacy with you and making love to you.
Yeah. I miss this component of
that's
our relationship.
That's so personal.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And I think that that's warm, which is so important when there's been a lull.
And it's not a demand. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I think we got to get away from. The demand of, if I don't get sex, this relationship is over. Or mm-hmm. if I don't get sex, then, you know, what are we? We're not even married anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, like those are demands and they're ultimatums, as opposed to, I miss you, I want you, I feel I really need and want this component of our relationship with you specifically.
Right. And it's a reparative request, mm. right? So this is a relationship that we believe is workable sexually, and we're reaching out to our partner.
Yeah.
You know, I have some people that one person is not sure that it's workable sexually. I am absolutely sure that it's workable sexually.
Yeah.
And I know that one of the things that is missing is that sort of responding to the bids of their partner.
Yeah.
Both sexual and emotional, because their partner, while they're not having very much sex, has made sexual bids. You know, and then it comes at the right, or it comes at the wrong time. Mm. You know, not the right temperature, not the right way. I mean, as much as the first person wants sex, it's like the bids are blocked. And so I think that many times I see something in a relationship that the one partner is sure is unworkable as absolutely dynamic.
Yeah.
You know, and so while I do think sex is essential for committed partnership in the long run, I do think that many times beginning this way with a sweet offering is the best way, and some belief that, you know, we can get through this.
Yeah. I think another way that we can start to get out of the lull is we don't always have to go for the full kit and caboodle right away.
The full Monty,
the
so
full
to speak.
Monty, so to speak. the whole hog. I mean, we don't have to just jump right back into intercourse.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and I think one of the things that we build back that also falls away when we're in these lulls is just other forms of affection and touch.
Yeah.
Right? We don't just stop having sex. We stop holding hands. Mm-hmm. We don't just stop
cuddling
having sex.
Naked.
Cuddling. We don't kiss as often. We don't kiss as passionately.
Mm-hmm.
We don't make out anymore.
Right.
You know, and we don't just hold each other. And so all of these things that are a vital part of a healthy sexual relationship, we don't just lose intercourse. We lose all of those things.
Yeah.
And so climbing back out a lot of times may be starting slower than we would necessarily want to. And just reminding ourselves, we get to hold hands when we walk down the street. We get to make out, you know, on the couch. We get to hold each other when we're falling asleep at night. Like those type of things that we can much more easily and safely bring back into the relationship that are could lead to sexual encounters. It increases the likelihood that they will, because all of a sudden touch isn't as foreign in the relationship anymore.
So if you're getting over a lull, I love what you're saying, Adam, is at least bring back touch first.
Yes.
Affection. You know, one of the things that causes lulls that we haven't talked about for a while is pain problems. Maybe the woman has problems with pain during sexual intercourse, and so she can't have sexual intercourse. And the downside of that is they often stop sex altogether. And what I mean by sex is, you know, they're not having orgasms together. They're not touching each other. They're not enjoying making love in different ways, which they could be.
Yes.
You know, it's almost like it becomes, you know, we got to have the dirty deed in order to have sex. And they miss out on the sexual experience.
And so, a lot of times, too, I mean, this may be a little side train that we're taking here, Lori, but a lot of ways there become problems with intercourse in general, whether that's pain on her end, whether that's some kind of sickness, whether that's on his end, whether that's ED, whether that's something that's going on. Like you said, we tend to cease all sexual activity, but keeping some sexual activity alive in the relationship is going to prevent a lull in the long run, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be preventative. So whichever direction you're coming at it from, if intercourse becomes a problem and become there's something that's standing in the way,
doesn't mean you're not having sex.
That's right. It doesn't mean your sexual relationship is done until you can have intercourse again.
Right, exactly. Okay, so I think one thing when you have had the lull and you've talked about it, I think one thing is to kind of set truly the first time an agreement about when you're going to have sex.
Yes.
Because this reduces the vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've had a lull and you say, yeah, let's become sexual again, it's like, nail it down. Well, why don't we do it on Saturday?
Sex night. You know,
sex night. We'll have sex. And I'm not talking about forever scheduling. Everybody resists that so much. I mean,
But I think
But
I think what we're saying, though, is there is a bit of a safety net in that.
Mm-hmm.
There is a, for the ones that are the pursuers that are trying to have more sex,
yeah.
like there's a safety net of at least to go in, okay, if she rejects me five times, you know, the sixth time, I know that she's agreed that she's going to say yes.
Yes.
And for the distancer, or the one that is maybe more resistant to reengaging mm-hmm. sex, it gives you the freedom to be able to say no, but also helps prime the pump, so to speak, that you know when it's coming. You can prepare a little mm-hmm. bit more for it. You can do the things that are necessary to get in the right frame of mind.
Exactly.
And it's such
a lot of sexual distancers need that forewarning. They need time to wrap their mind around it, to transition from the list of all that they've got to do into the bedroom where they are supposed to be present and letting mm-hmm. go of that list and being sexual.
Yeah.
I mean, I think an agreement is really important.
Yeah, it's a pact, really, mm-hmm. that we're not going to let our sexual relationship just go by the wayside.
Yeah. I also think that the first time back should be break the ice sex.
Mm.
You know,
tell me what do you mean by that?
So I mean low expectations. Mm. Just get her done. You know, I mean,
quick and easy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just like do it and get it done and, you know, have an orgasm. Hopefully both parties have an orgasm and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, don't judge it as well, but oh my gosh, that's going to be indicative of the quality from here on. Mm-hmm. Nothing's changed, or, you know, don't load it up.
Yeah. What I like about what you're saying is you're lowering your expectations for what's going to happen. And that's
yes.
That's so key, because I think when our expectations get really high, and that's easy to do when there's been a lull, right? I mean, that's so
right.
easy to do, because you're like, the first time, you know, it's got to be, we've been holding back, so it's got to be fireworks and parades and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's not, it often isn't, but lower, it can be.
It usually isn't.
And so lowering your expectations about that gets you back, but you're talking about gets you back in that rhythm. It gets you back in the groove.
Yeah. There. I mean, it's, you're naked again together.
Yeah.
You know, and there's vulnerability in just taking your clothes off.
Hmm.
I mean, sometimes when there's a lull, I mean, you just got to do it, and it's a throwaway sex time,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that helps. Especially it helps the person who is very, very, very anxious about this encounter, you know, like, it's been so long and I'm afraid you're going to judge it. I'm afraid you're going to judge me. I mean, just tell them, you know what, let's just do it. We'll get out of bed. We'll go have pizza.
Yeah.
You know, let's just get it done. We haven't done it for so long. It's like, now we've done it. Now we can start the ball rolling.
And I would say, too, that reminds me as well of something that you say often that I just love, which is, don't make your first time back be at 11 o'clock at night right before you're going to go to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is not the time to do it. Set aside some time. Send the kids to the babysitter. Do it before dinner,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, where it's a lot more intentional, and you can focus on it and have some more attention to it and get it done and go have pizza.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I love that. Okay. So getting over a lull.
What did we learn today, Lori? What are our takeaways?
Okay, so first we want to ask ourselves, how long is the lull, right? If it's a short lull, you know, probably these techniques are really going to help. If it's a long lull, like years long, you're probably going to need some assistance and some help and some therapy to get through it. So first, how long is it? And then the next thing is go for the sweetness, mm-hmm. right? Ask in a way that is inviting and warm and welcoming to your partner.
Yeah. And then the next thing is ease back in. Keep the affection in the small ways in your relationship. You don't have to go straight into orgasm. Hold hands, make out more, massages, back rubs, hold each other, all those kind of things.
Yeah, watch TV cuddled up.
Yeah, those things, add those things back into your relationship first.
I love that. Form an agreement as to when you're going to do it. And then just break the ice.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, you're listening to 4Play Radio Sex Therapy with sex therapist Lori Watson and couples therapist Dr. Adam Matthews. Thanks so much. It's been fun talking to you about the lull. We wish you no lulls. Hey, help us stay on top here at 4Play. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take one sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.